Hello?
Hello, Mr. Hicks?
Yes.
My name is Bill Warnick. I'm calling from Hamilton.
Oh,
I think
yes.
Your daughter told you I might be giving you a call.
Yes, that's right. I've been expecting that.
I'm sorry it took me so long, but I'm not making any excuses. Mr. Hicks, may I run my tape recorder while I talk to you? Do you mind?
Sure.
Okay. I'm never sure what to ask somebody right off the bat when I don't know them. I'm not a very good interviewer, but...
I don't really know what I can tell you.
Well...
I've been a long time away from Port Maitland, and all I know is about people who lived there at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and ask me whatever you.
Well, first of all, will you tell me where you're born?
I was born in Dunnville.
In Dunnville, or?
Well, and Port, I guess. Our address would be Dunnville, but I lived right close to Port Maitland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were only about a mile from Port Maitland, right beside the only public school that was in the area, and so the children from Port Maitland had to come up to the little public school, which was right next door to our farm,
mm-hmm.
which was on Rural Route 7, Dunnville.
Mm-hmm. So the school was up, what, closer to where Powell Shipyard is rather than closer to Port Maitland?
Well, let's see, where the shipyard was, the shipyard would be quite a bit farther.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe let's say halfway.
About halfway, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you were born there?
Yes.
Who are some of the neighbors that you had that you remember?
Well, there was the Samuel Lyons
mm-hmm.
family, and they had four boys.
Mm-hmm.
They were the closest neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, there was Thomas Grills, Grills, and he had two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
They used to come to our place, and they used to have a sing-song there. We always boarded the school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The school teacher always boarded at our place.
Do you remember who some of them were?
Well, there was a Gracie, and she married a Cowell. She taught at our school a couple of different times. She
mm-hmm.
went north, and then she came back. And she and my mother were quite friends. Now, she was, she married Roy Cowell,
mm-hmm.
which is, he's long, he's deceased
mm-hmm.
for quite a while. And his wife died, I would say, two or three years ago.
Okay.
In the hospital in Dunville.
So that was when there was I wish I could remember the name of him right now, but there was a man teacher down there that, that Mary, oh, dear. Oh, I'm awful. I'll think of her name in a minute. I'll tell you the story. But there were some men teachers in there as well.
There was a Cleghorn
mm-hmm.
that died, took sick,
mm-hmm.
and it was his first school.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother and dad drove him back to, when he was sick, back to around Guelph,
mm-hmm.
which he died, and then the other man teacher, I can't think of.
This one that I'm trying to think of, it was Mary Gray told me about her. Now, do you remember Dolly Gray had the hotel at Port Maitland?
Oh, I do remember that.
Okay, well, she had a daughter, Mary, and Mary used to come across the river and go to school there. And I don't have that letter from her right now, but she mentioned this fellow, and he was very big on the arts and the theater and the reading, and she kind of saw him as one of these very artistic, I think maybe even... Well, I guess artistic is the word, eh? And,
yes.
And give him a lot of credit for being teaching her the value of reading a good book, as opposed to just reading, writing, and arithmetic, eh? I don't remember what his name was.
I think I know who you're thinking
mm-hmm.
about, and I can't put a name on it either. But I can think that he was taking a correspondence course from
mm-hmm.
Queen's University, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Hamilton teacher that taught there,
mm-hmm.
and he enlisted. It was the time of the First World War.
Mm-hmm. That was his name, or he was from Hamilton?
No, his name was Hamilton.
His name was Hamilton.
And he had a brother in Dunville who was the chief of police, or the only police at one time. He used to tour his area in Dunville by bicycle. But this was, name was Harry Hamilton.
Harry Hamilton.
And I can remember quite well of him, not so much on teaching, but I can recall him coming back from the war and telling my mother and dad some of his experiences. But for some reason or other, he died a few years after that. And I can remember quite well a military funeral in Dunville
for him.
Yeah, they had a 20-gun salute or something like that. I can remember the kids picking up the empty shells from the...
That might be worth my looking up and maybe doing a story on him.
His grave would be up in the Riverside Cemetery, because I can remember being there, and I don't remember how old I was. But you see, I can remember the first airplane that we ever saw at school. See, I was born in 1908, so this would be...
I had you as 1906.
Pardon?
I had you born in 1906.
No, 1908.
Okay, let me change that. November 13th?
November the...
April
the 29th.
Okay, I've got the wrong...
April 29th, 1908.
I've got the wrong one here.
And I can remember...
April 29th, 1908. You're right. My mistake.
This airplane went over, and the teacher was the first one, and the kids all out. And the plane landed in our field. We had a farm. We had a 150-acre farm. And the kids all going out to see this first. Well, we'd heard of them and never saw one close up.
So when would you think that was?
Well, I would say, the war started in 1914. So this would be possibly, there was a training place for teaching pilots in Camp Borden. And he got lost. And it was getting near night. And he was getting low on fuel, so he stopped and stayed overnight. And I can remember, my dad was the only strong man around to turn the prop in the morning to get him going. Because there was no self-starter on the planes in those days.
But isn't that ironic that I'm not sure if it's the same spot, but right where the airport would eventually end up is, you know, in that same area.
In fact, our farm was at one time when they were looking for land for the airport. They had already signed up for it for the farm, but there was a creek running through our land. So the Logans who lived there was a road that run through from the road that went to Dunville and went right to the river, actually, which was never used very much, only by the farmers who were concerned with it. But I can remember that quite. So I would say this would be in the area of 1916, I suppose. I couldn't put a date on it for sure.
Right.
But knowing that the war started in 1914, it could be around that.
It's amazing you think that, you know, the first one you've seen and now what's happened in your lifetime. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, right.
You know, you've lived in a good time.
Yeah,
that's
right.
For sure.
Yeah, things.
Okay, tell me about the Diets. Do you remember the Diets?
Oh, yes.
I don't know too much about them, and they're a family that really interests me. I don't know why I've decided I want to write a story about the Diets, but I do.
Well, there was right at the end of the road that run by the schoolhouse, made a turn, and in fact, that was the area where Vic Powell,
Steve at one time.
Steve, and he bought a house from the government with a Logan farmhouse, and he moved that down onto that area. But what I'm saying, right on that corner where the road turned, there was an Abraham Diet that lived. And they had the one son, and he was had an accident and shot himself on a hunting accident. Well, then right next door to the next farm was Harvey Diet, and he had I remember Muriel was I remember Harvey Dyett's wife was, I took music lessons
mm-hmm.
her, and I walked up there to it. Took four lessons. That was enough.
You were a concert pianist after four lessons, eh?
I didn't have that at all.
I want to take you back to the, if I can though, I hate to break your train of thought.
Anything that you say.
But the Dyett that was shot.
Yeah.
What, can you tell me about that?
Well, he was quite a bit older than I was,
mm-hmm.
And he was quite a hunter,
mm-hmm.
but he was the only son, the only child that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can remember mostly about, not so much about the fellow himself,
mm-hmm.
but I can remember about the funeral
mm-hmm.
Going by our place.
Mm-hmm.
And the family was quite broken up about him. He apparently had a loaded gun in a boat, and somehow or another he tripped or something, and purely accidental,
mm-hmm.
and he killed himself.
Okay, let me just test you a bit differently, because I've heard that story quite a bit different than that. And what I've heard was that Harvey Little...
Harvey Little?
Harv Little.
Well, you're thinking maybe of Carson Little.
Well, you know, I thought it was Harvey, but anyway, let me just tell you the story, then you'll tell me, you'll correct me, okay?
Okay.
Was about 1924, 25,
yeah.
Was out in front of the Dyett's house with somebody duck hunting, and stood up on the boat, and I guess stood up just as someone took a shot, and he was shot, and he was taken into Dyett's. That's the way I understood that story.
Well,
now, you know, I've never found it in the newspaper or anything, so I don't know.
Now the son,
was there maybe another shooting that I wasn't aware of?
I know Abraham Dyett
uh-huh.
was their son, and for life of me, I can't think what his first name was.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the one that was, from what I heard, was only rumor too, because at the time I was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it was an accident,
mm-hmm.
and as far as I know, there could have been somebody else with him.
Okay.
But as I recall, I only remember
right.
about him being shot, and it was an accident, and I'm not sure whether he was standing up in the boat or whether somebody else was with him, and,
okay.
and she was shooting at a duck and hit him. You know, that I wouldn't swear to.
Well, that's what always makes this so interesting, is because I've always been working on the assumption it was a fellow by the name of Little who was shot, and he was taken into the Dyett house and then died. Anyhow, that's given me something different to work on.
See,
I'm really glad I asked you. We got talking about that.
The only Little that I know was Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Which I went to school with.
Right.
And he married a McCary, one of the McCarys.
Mm-hmm.
And
Kathleen.
Yeah, there was Kathleen and Irene.
Mm-hmm.
One married, one of the daughters married Sid Jones,
mm-hmm.
who was on the police force in Dunville at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, when I was weaving at the Dominion Fabrics, he was, Sid Jones was working there running looms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've heard anything about Sid Jones, he was and he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
A gambler, he would take a bet on anything in the world. and I was talking to his mother-in-law, let's see, I get so confused about Carson, because I got talking to this woman, and her mother was one of the McCarys,
mm-hmm.
that married Carson Little. Her mother, now the mother, this daughter now is 60 years old,
mm-hmm.
and my daughter and I went to Dunville to visit her, because
mm-hmm.
she heard about...
You mean Sylvia?
Yeah, Sylvia. She
right.
wanted to know as much as she could
mm-hmm.
about Carson Little's
right.
family,
mm-hmm.
you know. Well, I knew, in fact, they lived at one time, I know that where they lived in Port Maitland,
mm-hmm.
but I also know where they lived on Cedar Street in Dunville, because it was right next door to where I built a house.
Mm-hmm.
This was back during the the war, you know, and they told me it was crazy to build a house this time. Anyway, you know.
But you did anyhow. So what happened to Carson Little? We jump all over the place here a little bit. But
yeah,
that's
Carson Little got involved with, I think it was Park Austin in Port Maitland, and they got into, they had a little fishing outfit, and at that time there were three hotels in Port Maitland, as you probably know. And the Sylvia told me that they and I knew that they were pretty well involved in drink, you know. But I can Sylvia told me that they finally, to get away from Port Maitland and the company, that they bought a place on the Inman Road. But I can remember quite well Carson. At his funeral, he was operated on by a Dr. McCauley in Dunbo that they claimed. Now, my wife's family thought he was a god, you know, but they claimed that he was a butcher, you know, and he pulled a bad boo-boo on Carson's leg, and he was dead in no time.
Yeah. I was wondering whether he was killed in a car accident or something, but he wasn't that, eh?
No, Carson was died as a result of blood poisoning.
Well, I just had somebody the other day tell me he was, and I didn't think he was, so you answered my question there. So you see, you're doing great stuff here.
I remember that quite well.
Okay, back to the diets. I cut you off, and you were doing so good. I hope you can get back on track. I don't even know where you're at. You were telling me about the boy had been shot at the funeral. And then you're telling me about Harvey. Harvey's wife taught you a bit of piano? Was it Harvey's wife?
Harvey Diet's wife was and I think she played the organ in the church in Port Maitland. And she gave music lessons.
Let's see if I can figure out who she was. Do you know who she was?
Her unmarried name, no, I couldn't tell you that.
Okay, let's see if I can figure that out.
But I can remember them quite well, driving a Democrat to...
Okay, was her first name Lillian?
Oh, boy, I wouldn't swear to
that. Okay, don't worry about it. They were driving a Democrat, you're saying?
And when they went to church, every Sunday morning, we used to see them go by in this two-seated Democrat, you know, but I can remember that I'm going to Port Maitland, that little church in Port Maitland.
Christ Church,
Christ Church, and if you ever been into it, the new one, the one that was built, there was one burnt there, and the new one, my mother and dad dedicated a window in there to my oldest son, Francis.
Oh, okay.
That window is still in there.
Well, why did I didn't think that you were Anglican. I had a notion that you were Catholic. You're Anglican.
I'm Anglican. I was married. My wife is Catholic, and I never turned Catholic.
Okay.
But I didn't do too much on religion either for Anglican.
Yeah. Well, without getting too much into your really personal stuff, I assume then your daughter, though, I gather, is Catholic.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And my son was raised. I agreed to that. Because
in those days you had to.
Well, she was quite... she was religious and I wasn't, so I said, bring them up, but bring them up good any way at all. It's fine with me.
All right. Well, that's what I wondered about, because I knew there was some connection with you in the Anglican Church, or your family in the Anglican Church, but I thought that your daughter was Catholic, so that's fine. Now, I did some scanning of Earl Siddle's photographs yesterday, and I've been over Earl's photographs 100 times with him, but, you know, didn't pay enough attention, I guess, at times, or I'd see a picture and didn't take time to ask about it. But anyhow, he has one here. There's three pictures, actually, and it's called, and I think the word is Gills, G-E-H-L apostrophe S, Gills Stand, Port Maitland, and it says, at the crossroads. It looks like it was a small building and maybe had gas pumps. Well, it did have gas pumps. There's no question about that. Do you remember that? Or what?
There was a fella who was a school teacher named Sale, S-E-H-L.
That might be it. That could be it. S-E-H-L, right.
Harold Sale, and he had a wife and a son. And he opened up a little gas station right on the corner there. up the river road, and the one that goes right to Port Mayer,
right.
And the other one goes right to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was sail.
That's who, okay, that's what it is then. When once you said the yes, I could see the yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I never knew that place existed.
Yeah.
I've heard about this school teacher, Sale, but I didn't know that that was some, that he had a gas station.
Yes, he was teaching there at the time that I was going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because I became quite friendly with him, and I knew him quite well. But I can also remember when he had the gas station. Back in those days, at that time, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon.
Now, look, I don't have any dates on these pictures at all for his gas station. Can you give me a ballpark figure? You were...
You ever hear of Fred Vorwick?
Vorwick?
Fred Vorwick that had a place in Port Maitland, in fact, he ran a little speakeasy there at one time.
I haven't.
And he was really an American.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a half interest in a little airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to my brother and I, we had a tractor and worked on the farm. And he said there was ditches in this field.
Mm-hmm.
Said, if you fellas bring your tractor down the disc and fill in those, they said, I'll give you a ride.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my first ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a one-seater, and you sat side by side and with one strap across you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember we used that right where that gas station was,
mm-hmm.
right in that field.
Right.
The field, I think, belonged to the... I forget the name, that took over the splat farm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, that these things, unless somebody asks you, it gradually fades that you forget entirely.
Well, with your permission, I'll probably give you a call back in another week or so, and a lot of this stuff will be back.
Okay.
It's amazing what will happen in a week's time. Because it'll drive you crazy thinking these names, and all of a sudden they'll come back. But you're starting to tell me about your tractor ride, and you're trying to connect a date for when this fella had this gas station.
Yes, I was still home on the farm, and I went to Buffalo in 1927. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be prior to that.
Okay.
Because I can remember when we were sawing the field, my dad was cutting hay, and I thought it was quite a sight to see the horses pulling the cutting hay, and
mm-hmm.
we soared out over the lake, and he said to my brother and I, which one of you is the heaviest? And he said, and my brother Harold was the little heaviest, so he took me first.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I won't guarantee we can get off the ground, but we'll try it. And if you're willing, and I said, I was scared to death of the plane, but I thought, well, I can't miss it.
No.
Turn like that.
Guess not. I wanted to ask you about John and Henrietta Siddle. Do you remember them?
John?
Yeah, John and Henrietta. They started out across the river. They started out on my side of the river. I grew up on the east side.
Yes.
And they had the hotel or the boarding house, actually, is what they had. Do you remember them?
I can remember all of it, but I know nothing about them.
Okay, all right. They were Percy's parents.
I know. Percy, I know well, and I knew George Siddle. He was. I think they were distant cousins.
Yeah, George and Percy, I think, were first cousins. I think they were first cousins.
Yeah, I can remember George because I used to work for him, and when I was going to high school, I'd painting cottages along there.
Doing what?
Painting cottages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't remember George or John Henry that well, but that's
no,
okay.
I don't.
How about Fred Clay?
Oh, very well.
Yeah,
I remember Fred. Yeah.
Yeah,
and Mamie, she was on McKee.
Mm-hmm.
Mamie McKee. Yeah. Oh yes. I knew him.
Did Fred fish pretty much all of his life?
Who?
Fred Clay. Did he?
Well, as I recall, what he did mostly was he had boats for rent.
Mm-hmm.
Rowboats now, I guess he did at one time have fishing outfit, but I don't recall that.
Don't recall, okay.
No?
I remember him with the boats. That's what I remember more than anything else, and the fishing equipment, and he used to make flies. And he was a pretty good, very good fly fish maker, I should say.
Yes, I remember that.
But he had a boat called the F.B. Clay. Which I remember, but, you know, I really don't remember it doing any fishing.
Well, you mentioned that. I do remember that boat now.
As I recall, I don't think I ever saw it leave the dock, but
no.
it was... Like I remember he had
like,
that.
Like the Joneses, like, you know, like Dewey and George Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They had so much money that they couldn't afford. They didn't were scared to go out too far out in the lake. You know?
Why spend any of it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any of my newsletters that I've made, whether your daughter showed them, any of them to you.
Yes.
But I did the one on the Siddles and the fish, the Earls, and his early June, and some of the boats they had. Well, yesterday when I was going over these pictures that I got from him or from his family, I came across a picture I had seen a dozen times before, but I had never pulled it out of the sleeve to see what it was, and it's a framing where they're building the early June in Welland.
Oh, that's nice.
Fantastic. Two of them, actually, with the date on it, and the actual exact date that this picture was taken, July the 18th, 1931. And I thought, I wish I had known I had that was there a few months ago.
You know, I was never too much of a friend with Earl. Somehow or other, I never got to know him that well. I remember more of the Martin boys, Russell and Norman Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I used to pal with them.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a bit about them, then, if you will, because I do have a picture of Russell Martin here that I got this day. Were they the people in the hotel?
Yes, their father ran the hotel, and mm-hmm. I can remember Russell because when we wanted to drink and couldn't buy any, why he used to steal the odd bottle from the, you know, where they were, you know. Of course, there was
lots of it.
In those days when it wasn't legal to have it.
Oh, okay, all right.
Quite a bit of bootlegging, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there was a fair amount of that. So, Russell and what was his brother?
Norman. And there was Eddie, was
mm-hmm.
an older one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Marjorie, a girl, and there was a Dorothy, and there was a Vera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're all dead now, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Norman and married Marie Roy, there was Charles. Oh, what was his name? He had a barber shop in Dunville, and he married Marie. I just can't get it.
Okay, don't sweat it now.
Yeah.
You know, let's say when I call you in a week or so, you'd be surprised the stuff you remember that you can't today.
Okay.
And if you don't, there's always another phone call.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there were Martins that had the hotel.
Yep.
And actually, there were two Martin hotels at one time.
Yeah, there's another Martin hotel,
okay.
Yeah.
And what was the connection between the two Martins that owned the two different hotels?
Now, I don't know whether there was any relationship there or not, but I can remember the girl from the other Martins
mm-hmm.
went to puppy school when I did. In fact, she sat right across from me.
Mm-hmm.
And for a minute, I can't think what her first name was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't recall any other member of that family but her.
Mm-hmm. And that was the Victoria Hotel that you're thinking of?
That was the Victoria. The
okay.
other one was the Exchange.
Right.
Exchange
okay.
Hotel.
Now, there was also a Martin Fishery across the river, from right across from the Maitland Arms Hotel.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that the same family, the same Martins as?
No, I don't recall that. There was a Melvin Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but as I recall, he was a driller
mm-hmm.
with a Patterson. In later years, that I can recall, that they were, you know, there was a lot of people that ever worked on a drilling rig.
Mm-hmm.
Got big jobs in Persia and places that were in the oil fields.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay. There was a Harmon Hedden that lived on our road, and there was Lorne Goit.
Harmon Hedden, I won't go back to that. We just asked about Heddens the other day.
Yeah.
What was his name again?
Harmon.
And how did you spell his last name?
I think it's Hedden.
Okay.
I think.
And whereabouts did he live on that? It's so strange you should mention him.
Well, he lived on a farm, do you recall where the Hornibrooks lived?
Mm-hmm. Along the lake?
Pardon?
Along the lake? So it's,
No. The Hornibrooks lived on our road.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then right across, there was a Moyer. You remember
mm-hmm.
Elmer Moyer in
mm-hmm.
Fort Maitland?
Mm-hmm.
His mother
mm-hmm.
had, as I recall, run this or had lived on this little farm right across from where Fred Hornibrook worked for the government building in Bing,
mm-hmm.
and he had a team of horses, and he used to do haul gravel all the time for different concrete work jobs, you know.
Okay.
And he had quite a size family. I could name you quite a few of those.
Who are we talking about, Moyer or?
No, the Hornibrooks.
The Hornibrooks. Okay.
But this Mrs. Moyer. Her husband was Elmer Moyer in Port Maitland. And I knew him and then the son, but I think the son is dead too now.
Okay. It's a good thing I got the tape recorder going because I can't keep up to you. It's terrific. Yeah, I'm going to read this over, play this back, and get all these things figured out. Then I'll be lots of questions for you then.
There may be some needing a little correcting.
Well, what the heck. We're only going with memories, and memories aren't always perfect. What else I wanted to ask? Oh, I know. Mary Hicks and Lachlan McCollum.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me about them, if you will. I found some interesting things in the paper about them.
Well,
they had a stormy beginning.
Yes, Mary McCollum was a sister of my father.
Was a sister of your father.
She was a Hicks.
Okay, yeah. So let me just do this now. Your father is Alexander.
Yeah.
Let me just come up here and give me a second here. Alexander. Do I have her in there? Okay, let's see if I got it right. Ah, beautiful. I don't. Okay.
They lived on the Inman Road. On the old homestead where when I can remember when my grandfather was alive. They used to have occasionally a little get together on that farm down on the Inman Road.
Okay. And she married Lachlan McCollum.
McCollum and he's destined.
Okay, you say Mary is married to Lachlan McCollum.
Lachlan McCollum.
And he is a distant relative of the senator.
Of the senator. And the senator hired him as
okay,
I
you say Mary is married to Lachlan
later,
McCollum.
Earlier, I would say, as the fire manager of the big estate in Port Maitland.
Okay. You
know.
Well, you answered a question for me because I had had two different Mary Hicks on the go here. And I had a Mary Hicks who was born on November the 10th, 1867, married to Lachlan McCollum. But it wasn't your aunt. And then I have another Mary Hicks who was born December 25th, 1863, and that one I had as your aunt. So I've got to work those two out, which
no,
one?
No, Betty would have that correct.
Okay.
If she would have that, whatever she put on there, I think is quite right.
Well, I didn't have your aunt married to Lachlan McCollum.
You didn't?
No.
Did I write that from Betty?
No, I probably got this out of the newspaper. Let me just see where. A lot of this Lachlan McCollum stuff I got. Let's just see if I can find marriage notes. Give me a second here. I was going to tell you a bit about Mary Hicks and Lachlan McCollum. And most of this came out of the newspaper. Now, I'm going to bore you. I'm going to turn the tape off for a second while I read this. I've never had anyone tell me anything about Mary, but she was your aunt.
Yes, she was. I can remember being there. They used to have dances, and the cults from Dunville used to play. They used to have a little orchestra that they went around and played. And in those days, you know, you had square dances and farm homes all around the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. So this was over where at the mansion?
On Inman Road.
On Inman Road, at their home at Inman Road.
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, not that I don't want to know more about that, but I want to try and hit on a bunch of things, and then I'll decide what I want to pester you about a little bit more. Let's see. I got some names here of some fishermen. I'll just name them off to you. Tell me what you can remember about them. Jack Akins.
Oh, yes. Jack, yeah, I remember Jack, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember him.
Where is he from?
I think he came from down... Where the canal bank is? There was a Milton Akins farm, and I think Jack came from there, and he married a girl from. It seems to me she was a Scotch girl, because I can remember them. They were quite a bit older than me, but we used to take the team in the winter time and take a load of people from Port Maitland to the hockey games in Dunnville.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember Jack and his wife, and I can't think if there's some. Used to sleigh ride fall. In those days, we had snow all winter,
mm-hmm.
you know, like we have this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Frank Ross.
Frank Ross. I can remember Alan Ross,
mm-hmm.
who I would say would be Frank's father. When he used to run the little ferry across the river in
mm-hmm.
Port Maitland.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I can remember back when it was in order to propel it, there was a chain went across, and you had to turn a crank
mm-hmm.
to crank this barge across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can remember later it was a political job. And then there was a Dewey Jones,
mm-hmm.
who, when the Liberals were in party, the Liberals, I think Alan Ross run it,
mm-hmm.
and Dewey run it when it was
when the Conservatives came in. Okay. I just have to figure out. That was about 1942, I think, when there was a switch in government.
And Frank was a son, and mm-hmm. I don't remember too much about him.
Okay.
But there was another son besides Frank, wasn't there?
I think there was.
Yeah.
And we'll put another time, maybe. I want to ask a few more names here. Max Case.
Max Case. Well,
mm-hmm.
I knew the Case family.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Marie,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know the boys too well, because I can remember Marie used to work for us when my mother was not too well.
Mm-hmm.
They used to, Marie used to do housework.
Mm-hmm.
And I also remember.
So would Marie be one of Max's sisters, do you think?
I would say a sister,
okay. And Stan Case, that would be, would that be a brother of Max?
That would be a brother of Marie.
Okay, all right. Charles Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Crosby Jr., actually.
Yeah, remember Charles Crosby. He had a boat.
Mm-hmm.
He had a fishing boat. I don't remember too much about, but when you mentioned Charles, that brought back to
mm-hmm.
me, but I can remember.
Okay.
I can remember a brother-in-law that used to come and live with him, and he was quite a singer and entertainer, and he used to entertain at the Christmas parties.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me too much about him, but I don't remember too much.
That was one of his brother-in-laws.
Okay. Yes, it'd be Charlie's brother-in-law.
Well, I know who this fellow is. I see this fellow once a week. The next name on my list here is Carol Kenny. I see Carol all the time.
Is Carol still alive?
Yep. He's 92 in May.
92 in May.
Yeah.
Because he was in the same farm in high school as I was.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still doing pretty fair. Actually,
and
very
where
well.
Where does he live now?
He lives in a senior's home in East Hamilton.
Oh, does he?
About 5 years ago, he gave up his home.
I haven't seen him for years. Yeah. I talked to Mate McEwen several times,
mm-hmm.
and he told me that Carol used to come and see him.
Yes, well, Carol tries to once in a while, but of course he can't get out that much.
No.
And he talks to me once in a while, too. Probably once or twice he would give me a call.
Would he remember me?
Oh, yes. I mentioned you to him, your name to him, and he knew right off who you were and talked about you and told me you were the pharmacist. No, the veterinarian.
Well,
veterinarian.
I worked at that artificial insemination.
Oh, he thought you were a vet.
No.
Okay.
No. No,
well,
we had to take a course,
mm-hmm.
you know, on to different things about the anatomy of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked at that for about 11 years, and then I was another 10 or 11 years in the lab, running the lab when we started freezing bull semen.
Oh, okay. Well, whereabouts was this that you did this? Was this in Port Colborne?
When I served the farmers in the community,
mm-hmm.
I was living in Dunnville.
Oh, okay.
But then I was moved to Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
I was on near Rickman's Corners there,
mm-hmm.
where they had the bull stud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I went into the lab. And then the amalgamation took place a few years later, and I was moved to Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
And looking after the lab, I became lab manager there, and I was responsible for the freezing
mm-hmm.
and all that we put into the semen to extend it to, you can breed 300-400 cows.
Right. And who was it you worked for? I think I know who you're going to tell me.
The Hamilton District Cattle Breeders.
Okay. I remember where they were. Sure.
Yeah.
Over by Rickman's Corners. Okay. He seemed to think you were a vet. So we'll let him think that. What the heck?
Well, there's a lot of people used to call me doctor when I would come there. I said, oh, no. By far not.
All right. Well, I don't know whether I'll straighten them out or not. Now let's take another picture here of, it's a Royal Cell, and it looks like Murdoch McCulley.
McCulley?
Yeah, M-C, I would say it's M-C, capital C-A-U-L-E-Y, which would be McCulley.
Well, I know of a Murdoch, but Murdoch was the last name.
Okay. Well, this Murdoch, in this picture, they're drawing nets apart, mate, and Earl Siddle is about 9 or 10 years old, and Murdoch is a man in his 40s at that point.
I wouldn't, no, that's I've lost.
Okay, Lizzie McKean.
Who?
Lizzie McKean.
Lizzie
McKean, M-C-K-E-A-N.
No.
Okay, that's
for,
fine.
For a minute.
Lizzie lived beside Percy Siddle along that road going to Port Maitland.
The husband was George.
George, yeah.
George McKay. Yeah, right. You brought this back. Yeah,
right.
I know exactly where they lived. I could take you to the spot.
Okay. I just wondered if you remember anything about them or about her. Or,
No, I do not. But I know where they were, and I didn't know them personally, but I okay. You mentioned McKean, but then I was thinking it was the little house was in sort of like the marsh.
I think so,
along
yes.
Along there, right near Percy Siddle.
Yeah, Percy. I have a picture of it here, but I don't have a picture of where it is, so
I recall that I don't know whether Jim Jones, you know, was the man, the father of George and Dewey, and as I recall in later life, he owned that house. Well, no, whether they died or what, but Jim Jones owned nearly all of Port Maitland, anything that wasn't worth much, he owned it.
Mm-hmm. Was he the one they called Captain?
Captain, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And I remember him driving a great big old Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to stop at Merle Jenkinson when he had a gas station there.
Mm-hmm.
And Merle would say, Jim, for God's sake, shut the motor off so I can catch up to it.
And then Jenkinsons were the ones along the river there beside Moss's, where Moss's eventually had their... Am I right? Jenkinsons had the big long place that looks like a dance hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, he didn't have a pool table, two or three pool tables at one time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They have a daughter, Betty.
Betty was married to Gordon Phillips.
Gordon Phillips, that's right,
She's still alive.
Yeah, in Bing, yeah. George, no, that's not right. Stan Case. Stanley D. Case.
No.
Probably a brother of Max.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know those. Yeah, only Marie.
Okay. Let's see who else we got here. This is kind of fun. For me, anyhow.
It's nice to me too. You're jarring my memory and you're breaking things loose that I didn't think was there anymore.
I thought right now I'd go over these pictures where I have names on the back and see if the. Here we are. Nope. Oh, I know. You were born 1908.
Right.
Do you ever remember any boats, barges of any sort, using the feeder canal and going up the lock? To the lock?
No, I do not. No.
Okay.
No, I do not remember. I can remember the old lock being there, and there was a Downies that lived right near there. I don't remember boats using that at all.
Okay. I'm trying to write a story about when it was last used. There's a story that different ones you read will tell you it was last used about 1890s, and I know it was used after that. In fact, there's a story that ran in the Chronicle last year, said what, and in fact it also was in the book from Dunville, the Dunville Heritage book, told the story about the last boat went through.
These books that says Remember When?
Well, no, not the Remember When ones, but the Dunville Heritage Association came out with a really good book in about 1992 called Grand Heritage.
Oh,
and,
I didn't know about that.
They have a story about the last time the locks or the canal was used, and they're saying about 1890. Well, I know Harry Siddle was injured in the lock when he was a teenager, and Harry was born in 1890. So when he was late teens, early 20s, which would make it 1910, thereabouts. I also know the lock was rebuilt in 1904.
Oh, yeah.
And the bridge at Stromness Station was built in 1906. So I'm just trying to get some people who remember the lock. Anyhow, I have a picture here of H.J. Ross, Fish and Poultry, Fresh Butter Milk. And it says Ross's Fish and Poultry. And it was on a postcard, July 14th, 1909, I think. We are well and hope you... We arrived home all right, had a nice drive. How's... It's awful reading. Granny and Daddy and Uncle Frank.
Where was this place situated?
Well, that's what I'm hoping you would tell me.
No.
It was one of Earl Sillis' postcards.
The only Rosses that I know of was the fisher that had their boats in Dunville.
Okay. Well, I think what's happened is I think Earl found a postcard with Ross Fishing Poultry on it and thought that's kind of a neat card, you know, because the Ross is Port Maitland and all that, and bought this thing, eh? But I don't think it was ever a Port Maitland store or anything.
Yeah.
And what else do we have here? Now, I have a picture. I wish I could show it to you. I wish you had email and I could send it to you.
Yeah, right.